First John chapter 5. I love the book of First John. I think Josh said he had a song for us. Did you have a song?
Amen.
All right. Come on, sing for us first. Come on, sing for us. John chapter 5, we'll start reading the first verse 1 and get down to where we're at. And the reason why, I don't remember where we stopped. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. I remember that. We talked about that. You love the brethren. If you love God, you love the brethren. And this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Amen!
Yeah.
Hallelujah. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's why it's important to keep building your faith. Keep growing in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why it's important to be in church and around the word of God, studying the word of God on a daily basis. Build your faith up. Build your faith. The Bible says build your faith. Overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I believe that. And this is he that came by water and blood, with physical birth, and then birth of his bloodshed, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And we talked about truth last time. And all the new Bibles take this verse out. You got a new Bible, they hate this verse. The devil hates this verse. The devil hates any verses when it comes to the deity of Jesus Christ, and when it comes to Jesus Christ being lifted up and being God in the flesh. The Jehovah's Witness Bible, they don't have it. Mormons, all the rest of the cults, they don't have this verse, and they don't believe it. I've talked to a Mormon one time, and I said, "Do you believe Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son are one?" And they kept saying this. They twist words. They try to make you think that they're with you. They keep trying to make you think that. And they said, "We agree. They're one in purpose." I said, "No, I didn't say that. I didn't say one in purpose." They always try to. They try to con you. And I was a con before I got saved. And they try to con you. I said, "Well, do you believe they're God? The Bible says God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And do you believe in God?" They don't believe that. And that's why it says whosoever over this, where's that verse? For verse 7, it says there are three that bear witness. Not that one. I was looking at another one. This is the record that God, verse 11, this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you don't believe that Jesus Christ was God, then he died in vain. And the Bible says, but as many as received them gave you power to become sons of God. So it says he was, and take your Bible, look in John chapter 1. Real simple verse. John chapter 1. St. John 1. I love this. It's almost, it sounds like in the book of Genesis when it starts out. In the beginning was the what? Word. Capital W-O-R-D. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when the Bible says, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W-O-R-D, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. They don't believe that. They don't believe Jesus Christ. Now, the Catholic Church tries to teach that Mary is part of, basically, what they believe is Mary is part of the Trinity. And that's Baal worship. And look on down. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And see, they try to say, well, Jesus Christ had a beginning. Well, he had a beginning when he was born in this life, but he was eternal. He was eternal. He came being born of a woman without sin. He was eternal in the eternity past. And then he came and was and got in time. He went in time being born of a woman. Now, back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. We covered a lot of this last time. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, Jesus did say the Father is greater than I. And that's when he was on this planet. He was in the flesh. He said the Father is greater than I. But they three are one. You got a body, soul, and spirit. The Father is the soul. And it says, there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And when I got saved, when I asked Jesus Christ to save me, I had no problem believing that Jesus Christ was God. I had no problem. I had no problem believing that he was the Son of God and he was God in the flesh and came born and paid my sin debt. I had no problem with that. And you can't get saved unless you believe that. You can't get saved. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave of his Son. And this Bible gives you the record of what God gave for his Son. Now, everybody knows, you know, you see him at football games, everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God gave his Son. The Son was willing to die in your place, my place, for the whole world. And he's going to come back one day and deal with the whole world. You find that in the book of Revelation. And verse 11, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There's no life without the Son. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I feel sorry for Christians that don't want to live for Jesus Christ and don't want to live for God. They can't experience the abundant life. Amen. They don't experience. And you say, what is the abundant life? Peace, joy, happiness, comfort. Comfort in the Holy Ghost. I was up there with Pop Mason, and he was dying, and he was saved. He got saved, and he got to come to church one time. And I was telling the church Sunday, I said, I could tell to see the fear on him because he hadn't grown. And that's why it's important that your faith gets stronger and your faith grows. And we kept telling him, well, he knew. He said, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Then but I seen the fear. The girls were there, the Mason girls, they were started singing. And he was just looking all around the room, just looking around. And right now, he's walking down the streets of gold. Amen. I'm glad he got in. Yes. He was a hard man. Yes. He that hath the Son hath life. When you have the Son, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. You have the Son, you got life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I love this verse. You need to underline it if you don't have it underlined in your Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. God wants you to know just that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. I got confidence in my Father. I got confidence in him. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will. Now, a lot of people ask, Lord, let me hit the lottery. Let me hit this. Let me do this. It says, we ask anything according to his will. He's not going to give you anything to hurt you. And you say, that wouldn't hurt me. That'd make me happy if I hit the lottery. No, it would hurt you. It would ruin you. It would ruin me. I always tell folks, and doctor used to say this in Bible school. He said, pray God give you $1 million. If God didn't give it to you, he knows he can't trust you with it. If God can trust you with money, there's some guys I know that God can trust them with money. They got money, and God can trust them with it. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, God says he answers prayer all the time. And the way he answers prayer is yes, no, not now. And that's the way he'll answer prayer. Yes, no, not now. What you got, if you don't get the answer to your prayer, then it's not now or no. And a lot of times you'll know when it's no. When you start praying for something, you start asking God for something, you start saying, God, give me this, give me that, and your own heart condemns you. Right. It says, you know God ain't going to give you that. Right. And but I tell you this, when you start praying for souls, amen, you start praying according to his will. You know, the Bible says the will of God is for you to praise him, lift him up, and that's his will. You start praying according to his will. Jesus said this while he was on this planet. He was submissive to the Father. He said, not my will, but thine be done. You know what our lives ought to be? Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, not my will, not my will. I always pray this, Lord, don't let me have my own way. You say, what? You don't pray that? Yeah, I pray, God, don't let me have my own way. Why? Because my own way would take me away from him.
preacher.
Your own way would take you away from him.
Yes, sir.
And you start wanting your way, and you want to do that, and you're like a little brat, you know, stomping your feet. And that makes, when I see a child act like that, makes me want to tear their hide up. And what do you think God is? What do you think he does? He wants to tear your hide up. And he loves you. But he can't stand the little brat. And we are brats. We are Americans. We are brats, man. We are brats. We've been blessed, and we've been so blessed that we don't even realize how blessed we are. If we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have that petition that we desire of him. The petition is, all right, God, I'm asking you for this. I've got the petition. I wrote it out. I mean, it's written down. I'm asking you for the, will you, if it be your will. And the Lord looks over your petition and says, not now. You ain't ready for it. No way you can handle it. It'll hurt you. And we had that petition before him. All right, it says, if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And it'd be a terrible thing that you get to heaven and find out all you prayed about was all that everything you wanted.
Yeah,
and not what he wanted from you.
It'd
be a terrible thing to get to heaven and find out that. Man. Stand before the Lord, and he said, all you did was ask for this, and you never asked for a soul. We said this a couple weeks ago, how many of y'all have asked and been praying, God, give you a soul? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of y'all have been asking, God, give me fruit? Give me fruit for your glory, that I might please you. Give me fruit. If you'll do that, God will give you fruit. I heard Dr. Ruppman say on the tape the other day, he said this. He said, you cannot go fishing 365 days of the year and not catch a fish. He said, I don't care how bad of a fisherman you are. You cannot go fishing 365 days a year and not catch a fish.
Amen.
You're bound to catch something. It might not be what you want, but you'll catch something.
Right.
So pray the Lord's will according to his will. Now here we're going to get into something. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sinneth not unto death. There is a sin unto death, but I do not say that he shall pray for it. And there's a sin. Most Christians in America, we don't realize that sometimes we're playing with fire.
Amen.
That brother was talking about holiness of God. God is holy, and we're his children. But what happens, most Christians think, since we're his children, God's going to give us anything we want. He's like a genie. All we got to do is rub the bottle, and he'll give us anything we want. No, God expects things from you as well as as from me as we expect from him. So God wants you to be obedient to his will. He never blesses a disobedient child. Even though he does in the sense that you're alive and things are going on, people are saved. But, you know, God judges every case according to the case. If you're a baby Christian and you haven't, you know, you just got saved and God, you know, God deals with you in one way, and where he might deal with somebody who's been saved for 20 years that know better. And that's the way we do with our own children. We expect our own children the same thing according to knowledge. And if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and if he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, how many of y'all pray for somebody that's backslidden? You pray, God, get a hold of them. Don't be merciful to them. You pray for them. I do. I pray, God, please, God, have mercy on them. Don't, you know, just have mercy on them. Get a hold of their heart, but have mercy on them. So we're praying. Why? Because there is a sin unto death. Now, look in your Bible. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. I want you to see some things. Most churches won't preach on this. They won't say nothing about it. Because a lot of times we make it seem like God is a big genie, or God's a big kiss up there, and anything you do is going to be all right. It's not. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You should have a good, healthy fear of God. And we all lack that. We all lack that healthy fear of God. If we have a fear of God, it'll keep you from sin. And if you have a love for him, you know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. If you love him more than that, perfect love casts out fear. And what happens is your love is the reason why I'm not going to sin, because I love him more than I fear him. And look at this, Romans chapter 6, look at verse 20. It says, for ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit on the what? So God expects holiness in our lives. And I'm not talking about the holiness women with their hair all the way down their back and they're wearing the skirts all the way down to their ankles. We had a girl that I told you about that came here, and she's a missionary, and she'd cover up everything. She covered it all the way down to her wrist and everything. And I found out the reason why. She was ashamed. She was ashamed that she had a body tattoo. She was ashamed of it. She wasn't flaunting it around trying to show off, but she was ashamed of it. But God will use that. God will use this, to show people, hey, man, I was a wild child. I was out there doing stuff, and God saved me. He can save you. And you don't have to go further out in the sin. And what happens to young kids in church, they think that you got to go out and get in deep sin and think they have a testimony. That ain't the case. The best testimony is I've never drank, never smoked like Brittany gave. Brittany gave that testimony up here that Michael Shane's getting ready to marry. She gave that testimony. She said, I never sinned. I was around church all my life. I never went out. She said, I don't desire that mess. Amen. And I think that's a great testimony. I could shout it out. I'd run the aisles on that. Amen. It says, being made free from sin, become servants of God, to God, you have your fruit on the holiness and the end there, everlasting life. Now look at this. This is talking to a Christian. For the wages, we use it to show a lost man, the wages of sin is death. But this is talking about a Christian. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I've preached a lot of funerals, folks, and I'll tell you what, I'm sick of funerals. I hate them. But I know fruit, I can get fruit and preach the truth and all that. But there is a sin unto death for a child of God. And I've preached funerals here and in funeral homes and stuff, and I thought about that. I thought, God, is this because this brother wouldn't do right and wouldn't get right, or this sister wouldn't get right and wouldn't do right? I thought about that. And I said, I don't want to, you know what? When you see a brother or sister go through stuff and you think, oh, God, and you should learn from that. Blessed is a man that learns from his own mistakes, but blessed is a man that learns from other people's mistakes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible talks about this. It says, it's reported commonly there is fornication among you. Such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Here's a son messing around with his father's wife. So he's remarried. And ye are puffed up. And it says, not rather mourn, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present, concerning him that doeth that hath so done this deed. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, my spirit and the power of Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one on the what? Satan. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And see, that's a sin, but he's saying, turn him over. Just turn him over. Let him go. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. It's real simple. If you look at it, you think, what is this sin unto death? It's real simple. Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. You know what's kept me right a lot? At first, I hope it's the love of God. But what's kept me right a lot is the fear of God. Fear of what God's going to judge me for. And fear of bringing shame upon his name. And fear of bringing shame upon the church and upon my family, upon my children. You said, that's kept you right. Yeah, there's a things called the word of God being building your faith, and I want to have my faith stronger, but I know a lot of preachers better than me going out and messing around. We was listening to a tape of a guy singing the other day. Nathan said, man, I love to hear this guy sing. I used to, too. I love to hear that guy sing. He was a blessing. That guy could sing. That guy could preach. He got preaching, and man, he could preach. He had a preacher's voice. I mean, this guy had a voice, and he could play the piano, and he got going, man, and he got to be a big shot, thought he was a big shot, and he and Brother Ingram had him in down there, and he said he got to where he didn't even want to come into song service. He got there late, walked in, like, you know, and he got to be a big shot. Doc used to say a lot of times preachers get these egos, and singers get these egos. And they get puffed up thinking they're something when they're nothing. And he came in there but he got a church down in Alabama, and the church was going well, had a camp meeting, raised a bunch of money, built a big building and all that stuff. He raised a whole lot of money. And nobody knew the property was in his name. It wasn't in, like, this church here, the grounds is in Faith Baptist Church. And he put it in his name. So that way he stayed control of the thing. So he got him a trailer park, started renting trailers to people, and some girl couldn't pay her rent. And she said, well, I can pay you in other ways. And he got messed up. He said, and then he tried to justify it, and his wife left him, and then he got out of the church, but he kept control of the church. And then he come back, and then he wanted everybody to say, hey, it's all right, I forgive you. He called me up and said, will you come preach for me? I said, can't do it, bro. I love you, but I can't do it. And I didn't invite him. I love the guy. I love him. You know what? He said he got mad and he blamed the brethren. He didn't blame himself.
That's right.
And usually they don't. What happens to people when they get out in sin, they always blame the church. They blame other Christians. They blame them.
Amen.
You know, they're judgmental and all that. Well, you shouldn't have done it, stupid.
Amen.
And if you'd done it, come back and repent and sit on the seat. What he didn't want to do, he didn't want to sit on the pew. He wanted to get back up in the position. He wanted to control. He wanted to be able to preach. He wanted everybody to accept him again and let him travel all over the country and around the world and do what he used to do. It doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
You got a testimony. You better be careful. You better be, brothers, sisters, you better be careful. Better be careful. Now look at this. For other foundations can no man lay, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11. He says, "Then, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble," and it's telling us that it's going to be judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for the things we've done in our flesh since we've been saved. And then it says, it goes on down, you don't get right, and you keep on doing what you do, and God's convicting you, and you won't repent, and you're being a rebellious brat, a child, a rebellious child of God. God will keep dealing with you, dealing with you, dealing with you. He's long-suffering, slow to anger. Thank God.
Yes.
Merciful, thank God. But there comes a time. I don't know when that is. Sometimes I thought, why don't God kill that person?
Yes.
Have you ever thought that?
Sure.
Why don't God just kill them? That'd be better off. But see, God knows their heart.
Yeah.
He knows what they're going through. And he's long-suffering. So he's not, thank God, you're not in control and I'm not
Amen.
In control.
Amen.
Nobody be alive.
Amen.
We'd all be judging everybody. If they didn't look like me, act like me, talk like me, dead, kill them.
Yeah.
That's the way some people are. Thank God you're not in control and I'm not in control.
Amen.
God's in control.
Amen.
And amen, thank God. Because I know some guys and some people, if they were in control, man. Mm. Look at verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not, now here it is, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God what? You know what the Jews said? The Jews said back there in Matthew, they said in the time of Christ, they said, we got the temple rebuilt. This is the second temple. We got it rebuilt. God ain't going to allow it to be destroyed the second time. He allowed that first temple to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews said, no way. God ain't going to do that. He won't do that. He won't do that. And then it got destroyed.
Yeah, right.
And the second temple got built. And they said, God ain't going to do that again. No way. He ain't going to allow that to happen again. And the second temple got destroyed.
Right.
Guess what? There's no temple there right now.
Yeah.
is going to be rebuilt. The third temple will go up. But you're the temple. You're the temple now. And inside that temple was a holy of holies. And the holy of holies is right in here. That's the holy of holies right there, your heart. There. Your body. God dwelleth in you. And God says, look what he says. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we all have to fight this battle every day. You fight this battle of the mind. But if you get in the book, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You get in this book on a daily basis, it helps to keep your mind right so it doesn't steal your heart. Your mind will get messed up and your heart will get messed up. The holy place. And you got the Holy Ghost of God sitting inside of you. And the Bible tells you, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. So inside you is the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit's in there. And God says, don't defile it. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and he said, it's finished, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, God left that place. You don't want God, and the only way God's going to leave this place is when I go into a coffin. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm just saying, you need to take things serious when it comes to the holiness, like that brother we just read about. We need to take things serious about our own lives, our own children, their lives.
Amen.
The grandchildren. We need to take things serious. Here it is again. And it's always dealing with the flesh, a fornication, that kind of thing. It's always dealing with that. And you can commit spiritual fornication when it comes to that, by worshiping other gods, doing all kinds of stuff. It says, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So it says, then it says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Don't join yourself onto something else. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's the body God gave you.
Amen.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's, which are God's. So you don't hear that preached in a lot of churches. They don't preach that stuff. They don't preach. All they talk about how God wants to bless you, how God wants to give you this, how God wants to give you that. And they make a bunch of spoiled brats and nobody dealing with sin in their life. They think, I can do whatever I want, live wherever I want, and just God's got to bless me. He's going to give me a brand new car. He's going to give me money in the bank. Now, look at this. Verse chapter 7. Now, concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise unto the wife, unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body. So it's talking about the flesh and so on. It's talking about, you know, your body. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Or actually, go to verse 1, yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Here's something. He says, you need to know how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, and it says, did all eat of the same spiritual meat? Did all drink of the same spiritual drink? And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things were our examples. So you got this as an example of what they did in the Old Testament. to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Everybody wants to play. That's what America is all, is a playground.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Danny Chappell, the guy that I was talking about a little while ago, he used to sing, "It's a battle for your brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. We came here to stay." I'd love to hear that song. But when he sings it, first thing I think about, it says, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them." Don't let nothing get your heart but God. Yeah, and I pray for the young people. I know their hormones are going crazy and everything else, and they go off, and they're not even thinking about God. They're not thinking about, you know, all they can think about is their hormones and their, you know, what they want. I want my flesh. I want my melons and the garlic and all that stuff like the Egyptian, but down in Egypt, they want that. And that's even not only young people, not only that. But that's the thing. God says, watch out, watch out, watch out, look out.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in this.
Amen.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As written, the people sat down, and look at verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. They lusted after things in God's. Now, I thank God the Lord deals with us as individuals in the New Testament, and we're through Jesus Christ. Old Testament, And it says, neither let us, now talking about us, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of what? Serpents. I know some people, brothers and sisters, always hell going on around them. They're saved, but all kinds of hell is always going on. I was on the roof the other day, my house, I was working on, and I heard a bunch of yelling and screaming. These folks come to church, got saved, they're down the road. I heard the state police go, and a bunch of screaming, yelling, fighting, all kinds of stuff. I got down the roof there, and I said, God, have mercy. I mean, they're baby Christian. They don't know nothing, but they're baby Christians. But it shouldn't be that way. That's why the Bible wants you to grow. He wants you to be yielded. He wants you to work toward holiness in your life so you don't commit such things as these. And it says, look on down. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Destroyer has one job. Destroy. And the destroyer will destroy your life and your family and everything else if you let them. The devil can't get you, man. He can't get your soul. But he can get your life if you let him. Your wife, your children, your family, everything else, if you let him. By you wanting your way, I'm going to do what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live where I want to.
That's right.
Go ahead. See what happens.
Amen.
Destroyer comes around. Let this. What? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Right.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to sin. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it sure is a sin to go along with it.
Amen.
There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Ever since I got saved, I've had to deal with temptations. Ever since I've been saved. Now, and I'm not talking about physical, always physical. I had a sister-in-law that approached me. My brother went to prison. My sister-in-law, she was a beautiful woman. She approached me. And I was with her in the Corvette. She had a Corvette, and we're riding down the road, and she pulls over, and she's, because I told her, I said, God wants me to go to Bible school. I know God wants me to go to Bible school. So we need to sell the business. We had a trash business. And I'm with her driving in the car, and she pulls up into an industrial area, and she pulls over in the back alley somewhere, and I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Linda and I just got married. I didn't tell Linda. For 10 years, I didn't tell Linda, because Linda killed her. And she pulled over, and she said, I'll do anything. Anything you want me to. Just don't leave me. And Samson was just born. Can you imagine what would have happened if I would have yielded? Would I be here? Would I be here? Yeah. I would not be here. And down the road, there's been all kinds of those things. And you're going to face them. And I'm not telling you this. I'm telling you that's, I was 21 years old. Linda and I just got married. Samson was just born. And the temptation is going to be there. And I'll never forget that preacher said one time, he said, I don't care if you're the ugliest looking thing on the face of the earth. The devil's got some Jezebel or some lady, some guy out there to mess up your life.
Right, man.
And you better be careful about temptations. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. Well, but look what else it says, and we'll stop right with this. And also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to, as to wise men, judge what I say. If you're a wise man, you'll listen. A wise man will hear. A foolish man will go right along, fall right into a pit. I don't want to fall in a pit. God helping me. Lord help me. Lord help you. I pray for each person. I mean, I pray for the church. I pray for our teenagers. I pray for our young people. I pray, God, for our little ones. I pray for the married couples in the church. I pray for all y'all. None of us are above it. None of us. That you never reach this holy plateau that you'll never be tempted again. But, and don't get to the point where you think you're so holy that people can't be around you. If you're that holy, I don't even want to be around you. If you think you're that holy. Well, you know what? I can be around you for a little while and find out you ain't as holy as you think you are. All right, we'll stop right there. I'll go ahead and take a prayer request.